诸位菩萨晚早安，阿弥陀佛。
Good morning, everyone。
我们今天要来分享的是太虚大师的一生哦。太虚大师，大家对有听过吗？有听过吗？吼。那太虚大师的资料非常的多，那我在有限的时间之内就参考了几本书。那是从最看的就是太虚大师自己写的自传这本书，先来用一个简单的一个几个段落来介绍他的一生。
So today we are going to go through Master 太虚's lifetime together. And have you all heard of this master? He is one of the prominent monks in China's historyThere's a lot of materials written about his lifetime. Today, given the limited time, we're just going through some major books on his life. One of the books is his autobiography.
那我们今天简单的几个段落要介绍是一个从佛教现代化的改革者的角度，跟他的背景，整个时代洪流的背景，有妙产心学，还有辛亥革命，还有五四运动，还有抗日战争，在中国建国初期的时候呢，整个时代的洪流的变动之下，太虚大师怎么改革中国佛教，以及他的思想在人间佛教的施行是怎么样酝酿产生而成的。
So the main theme of the talk is based on Master Tai Xu's thoughts on how to reform Buddhism and apply Buddhist principles and adapt to the rapidly changing modern society and the nation. It reflects the turbulent times that China went through, such as the China Revolution of 1911, May 4th Movement of 1990s.And also the policy of using temples property to support schools.
太虚大师呢，他是二十世纪最重要也具最争议性的一个佛教改革家与思想家。他在明初的时候发起人生佛教思想为主的佛教复兴运动，试图改革僧伽制度，然后并提倡积极参与社会活动。这样子一个过程当中所受到的批评，在当时受到批评跟毁谤是相当的多的哦。
So Master Tai Xu is one of the most prominent monks in the 20th century of China.And because he is an advocate for reforming Buddhism, and he's also a great thinker at that time, he received a lot of criticisms from people. So he was considered one of the most controversial monks in 20th century.
那我们在谈太虚大师的一生的时候，就必须要回溯到我们中国的历史。
So in order to really understand the Master Tai Xu, we would have to navigate through the Chinese modern history.
在我们先来谈一下中国佛教为什么他要复兴中国佛教，因为在中国佛教的教育上面，在隋唐时候有非常辉煌的历史。比如说我们当时出现了很多易经的高僧，比如说是鸠摩罗什跟什么玄奘大师，以及后来的制定丛林制度的什么马祖道一，创丛林、百丈立清规等等禅宗，这些丛林制度一路演变而来。那到了明清以来，我们这时候的佛教呢，高僧都已经不多见了当我们明代的时候，还有明末四大师。但是到了晚清的时候呢，晚清我们佛教徒普遍的佛教徒知识都不高，所以他素质普遍低落。这个时候呢，这个整个中国的佛教呈现一个比较颓败的一种现象。
So first, we would want to ask a question, why does Chinese Buddhism need to be revived? That has to do, they have something to do with the history of Chinese Buddhism. So we all know that Chinese Buddhism peaked during Tang and Song dynasty. There's a lot of eminent monks at that time, and also great translators such as Kumarajiva and Master Xuanzang, Venerable Xuanzang. And also then during Tang dynasty, we have established the forest regulation by Master Bai Zhang. And then all the way to Ming and Qing dynasty, there are still some eminent monks, even though it is relatively rare compared to Tang and Song dynasty. And when it came to late Qing dynasty, the qualities of Sangha continued to decline, and you rarely see eminent monks came to the world.
So we 在这是中国佛教在明清之后的一个现象齁，然后在政治上面呢，在时代的转变上面呢，那时候他遇到什么样的国家遇到什么样的困境呢？
And also, so that was just from the Chinese Buddhist perspectives. What about the political and social challenges faced by China at that time?
这时候我们就要回溯到清朝哦，清朝从道光、咸丰年间哦，这以来哦，我们中国败于鸦片战争，这个大家都耳熟能详吧？鸦片战争对我们中国有个非常大的影响哦，然后再败于英法联军，再败于甲午之役。然后最后败于庚子全匪之乱，这个迎来了八国联军。我们大家对历史都有一点略有一些涉略齁。
So just a brief overview of the history and big historical events happened that time is since late Qing Dynasty, since Emperor Daoxian. China first was defeated during the First Opium War, which everyone is quite familiar with, and then again defeated by the army alliance by Britain and France. And also again China was defeated in the First Sino-Japanese War. And last, there was a Boxer Rebellion, which hit China pretty badly.
中国百年来受到了帝国主义的压迫跟不平等条约的剥削，在那时候内忧外患，国势已经不会像在清朝清初的时候这么强盛了吼，所以那时候的战火吼漫及整个中国大陆，这个是我们在中国近代史上是这个非常很悲惨的一个巨变。
So that was a time full of turbulent events and wars and disasters and unfair treaties. So it was very difficult for Chinese people.
那时候呢，中国因为遭西方文化的冲击，在我们的有心人士的民主意识的觉醒之下，带动了佛教的振兴。比如说，在清末明初的时候呢，由佛教界的知识分子杨仁山居士为中心创办了开始了启动我们佛教的复兴运动，太虚大师当时也在他的门下中学习。
So during the period of late Qing dynasty and the beginning of the Republican period, some Buddhist intellectssuch as Yang Wenhui, they started the revival movement of Buddhism, and Master Taishi was part of it.
那这时候呢，太虚大师承续了杨仁山居士的一个复兴佛教的理念哦，然后终身奔波于佛教的改革。那他所创办的武昌佛学院呢，也是我们中国历史上第一个佛学院。
So Master Tai Xu was greatly influenced by Buddhist intellect Yang Renshan, and he carried on the project of reforming Chinese Buddhism, and established the Buddhist Academy, Buddhist Institute in Wuchang, which is the first Buddhist institute in China.
那通常我们都会用革命和尚来形容太虚大师，为什么呢？革命和尚听起来就觉得哇，听起来很不得了哦。然后因为他在那个当时的社会这种战乱的情况之下后，他觉得佛教也需要改革，所以他怎么提出了他的改革呢？对于僧众的改革怎么改革呢？他提出了三种改革哦，一种是对于中国佛教革命僧的训词，第二个又写过我的佛教革命失败史。那要讲他的三个革命主张呢，要讲怎么样讲呢？要一定要先回溯他的生平，哦，因为这里有个非常重要的阶段，才能接续他为什么要做这么对中国佛教做这么努力的改革哦。
Master Tai Xu is often referred as revolutionary monk, so it sounds like a cool title. But what exactly he did? So during the Republican period, he proposed and advocated a threefold revolutions in Buddhism, and also wrote an article about admonition on the revolutionary monks in Chinese Buddhism. Again, he also wrote an article about the history of my failed revolutions in Buddhism. But in order to understand and his ideas, we need to first understand his biography, his lifetime.
那他的生命哦，他的佛教改进哦，其实是分两种时期，一个是闭关前的革命，他说是革命是非常激昂的，就属于激昂的革命时期，这时候他是以政治为先的革命时期。在闭关之后呢，他是以温和，这个温和是相对于激昂而言，所以他用温和的改进期，这时候他是以佛教为本的改进时期。
So Master Tai Xu's lifetime can be divided into two major periods. The first period is a period of a political revolution with high idealism, which is emphasized on political and social changes. The second periodis a period of reform, which is focused on Buddhism, which has mild ideas. And those two periods are divided by his solitary retreat in Putuo.
那太虚大师呢，他的一生我们要认识的话，要先他的生平认识起哦。太虚大师呢，他的俗名姓吕哦，他的学名叫佩林哦。然后法名维新，字太虚，是浙江崇德县人，是今天的桐乡县人。他早年的时候，幼年的时候，父母就相继去世，就五岁依着外祖母来相依为命哦，然后住在修道院里面，修道院的庵堂里哦。那也那时候五岁的时候呢，就可以就随着他的次舅读书。九岁就随着他的外祖母到处游散，也那时候朝山了吼。那十三岁呢，就去当学徒。十四岁的时候有文思而学作文。那十五岁的时候就身体不好，然后离开了百货店。那十六岁的那一年呢，因为想要什么学习神通，就来出家了。哦，这个对于出家，这个修道呢，对于那个神通那个千变万化有非常高的崇敬，所以因为这样子来出家了。
So in order to understand Master Tai Xu, we would like to first go through his lifetime and his biography. So we want to get to know him in person a little bit, personally a little bit. Master Taishu, his lay name is Lü, and his nickname was Jin Sen, and Xueming, also a school name was Pei Ling. He is styled as Taishu. He was born in Chongde County in Zhejiang Province. His parents died of sickness very early on, and he went down to live with his maternal grandmother in a Taoist temple. Taishu attended school with his uncle until 9, and then he went on pilgrim trips with his grandmother. At age 13, he became an apprentice at a general store, and at age 14, he already had his own ideas and thoughts and started writing. At the age of 15, he left the general store because of health reasons, and at age 16, he became a monk out of admiration for supernatural powers.
那他出家去受具足戒的时候是有哪一位戒和尚呢？是寂禅，哦，寂禅法师是受戒于宁波天童寺的寂禅法师，您知道寂禅法师吗？他是非常有名的，叫八指头陀。有听过八指头陀吗
？So, Master Taishu received his full bhikshu ordination at the Tiantong Temple under Master.Under Master Ji Chan. Master Ji Chan is quite famous, actually. Have you all heard of him? He is referred as the Eight Fingers Master.
为什么称为八指头陀呢？因为寂禅法师，寂禅和尚呢，在他一生当中非常用功的修行，他燃烧了两指来供养佛陀，哦，供养。所以他就燃了两指，就变成是八指，就是八指头陀的由来。这是他一生非常的精进用功，在当时的佛教界是德高望重。
Why do people refer to Master Ji Chan as the Eight Fingers Master? It was because Master Ji Chan practiced very diligently and dedicated to the Buddhism. He burned his two fingers as offering.That's why he only has eight fingers, and that on and his diligent practice earned great respect in China, in the circle of Buddhism.
那太虚大师呢？出家之后，寂禅和尚呢，以什么样资质来赞许他呢？以唐玄奘的资质来赞许太虚大师，并给予精心的培育哦。
Master Ji Chan, the Eight Finger Master, praised Taishu's qualities and likened him to Master Xuan Zang in Chinese history.
这时候他在佛学理论上打下很好的基础，但是他这时候他结识了什么呢？非在深界哦，新学风的先导者是华山法师，这是他有接受许多的西方的现代的思潮，然后这时候太虚大师也因为他而接受新的学术思想。
So under cultivation by Master Ji Chan, Master Taishu received solid Buddhist doctrinal education. But at the same time, he was also influenced by another monk named Hua Shan, who received new learnings, new ideas at that time among Sangha in Wenzhou.
那因为太虚大师的资质非常的好，他出家之后呢，就想要去闭关了后，然后他在19岁的时候由元英法师介绍他去西方寺阅大藏经，他在阅大般若经的时候就得到一个非常深刻的悟境哦。
At age 19, Tai Xu was introduced by Master Yuan Ying to the temple of Xifan to start the canonical reading, which led to his first enlightenment experience.
他怎么说呢？他那时候第一次开悟的经验是说，他忘却他的身心世界，处在一片空寂之中，然后历经数小时后，这个就像一个片刻一样，好多日能游在清安跟身心处在清安跟喜悦当中哦。
His first enlightenment experience described by him as suddenly lost the body and the mind and just in the great emptiness, and afterwards he still felt great ease in at body and the mind.
太虚大师有三次的悟境，从第一次的悟境之后呢，却回扣到我们的他的激昂的革命时期，这时候为什么呢？因为他在禅修上，对体验有非常深刻的体验，从此他对世学跟佛学能够随心所欲的运用。
During Tai Xu's lifetime, he had three enlightenment experiences in total. But after this first enlightenment experience, he devoted himself to the radical period, which has high idealism for reforming Chinese Buddhism. Why is that? It was because after his first deep enlightenment experience, he's able to master the worldly skills and the Buddhist doctrines freely.
由于他的悟境，第一次的悟境，所以他对佛学跟世学上的运用能够随心所欲哦，随心所欲，所以他灵活运用的时候，当然接受到西方的思潮以及当时革命的思想的影响之下，又接触了革命僧人七云，这时候这个双重的思潮冲击之下，就开始的有什么样对于佛教首次改革的一种创建呢？
Because of his enlightenment experience, he was able to freely use Buddhist doctrines and the worldly affairs and freely apply to each other. His ability increased tremendously, and also his thoughts influenced by revolutionists at the time, including a revolutionary monk Xi Yun. So he emerged. He had the thought of reforming Chinese Buddhism in the first time.
所以他对于政治啊，参与政治革命哦，这时候是什么？你觉得我们出家人要参与政治吗？哦，通常都是跟政治要保持距离，可以关心哦，但是不参与。但是在当时整个时代潮流之下，这个革命是势在必行哦。所以那时候他受了这些革命的一些知识分子影响了，参与了革命。他怎么样参与呢？他接受了七云法师的邀请哦，在1910年的时候南下革命的策源地广州，在那时候他与革命党人有一些接触，也深受了影响。在1911年广州起义失败时候呢，革命党人殉难于黄花岗，他做了吊黄花岗来悼念这些牺牲的同志们，所以因此涉革命嫌疑遭到官兵的弃捕而离开广州。哦，这个他的一生就是因为这样子来也算是逃难啊，吼，所以逃难官兵的追捕。
Master Tai Xu was quite involved in revolutions and those reforms. Just give you an example how he was involved in political revolution. In 1990, monk Xi Yun invited Tai Shi to Guangzhou, which, you know, full of revolutionists at the time. And Tai Shi came to know many revolutionists at the time. And in 1911, Guangzhou uprising failed, and many revolutionaries died in the uprising. So Master Tai Shi wrote a poem to mourn the failed uprising. And because of the poem, the Qing court wanted to arrest him because of his involvement with revolution. He left Guangzhou to avoid the rest.
在广州起义失败之后，整个革命的风潮一直蔓延到全省哦。所以在1911年辛亥革命起义之后胜利之后，我们中国建立了一个新的应该是说满清政府就消失了，我们就建立一个民国初年哦。
With the success of the revolution of 1911, the Qing dynasty officially ended, and the Republican period of China came to the history.
那太虚大师呢，在1912年哦，在革命辛亥革命胜利之后呢，抵达南京，想要发起一个组织的佛教协进会。要发起这个组织佛教协进会，要开始推动他的佛教的改革。这时候呢，他在南京啊，当时的临时大总统孙中山先生就跟他碰面了，然后他就跟孙中山先生提到说想要改革佛教，就提出这个组织一个佛教协进会，然后孙中山先生呢也觉得可以，就变成了说可以组成一个这个样子的一个。
Tai Shi arrived in Nanjing after the success of revolution of 1911 and began his work on the formation of the Association for the Advancement of Buddhism, which would reflect his reforming thoughts. And he met with, at that time, Provisional President Sun Zhongshan, and told him about his ideas of reform Chinese Buddhism, and his ideas were received a warm and affirmative response.
那他们要组织这个佛教协进会的时候呢，要选一个地点，然后也要有一位跟他非常交情非常好的一位仁山法师呢，就建议他在镇江金山寺来召开这个佛教协进会的成立大会哦。
Now that his idea of thoughts of formation association for the advancement of Buddhism was acknowledged by the president, he wanted to officially form that association. So he needed to find a place to call for a general meeting. And at that time, Monk Ren Shan had a good relationship with him, so they decided to have the meeting in the temple of Jingshan in Zhenjiang.
那仁山法师之前在金山镇江市出家哦，所以他对金山的镇江的金山寺有一些因缘哦。可是因为在这个佛教协进会成立大会的期间呢，这个过程里面，在太虚大师表达这个成立的宗旨跟目的之后呢，换了仁山法师上去发表，结果呢，因为有一些新旧势力的反对，然后在会议上吼，在发表过程当中，有一些旧势力的发言用激烈语言激怒了仁山法师，所以在当时的仁山法师就用一些比较激烈的语言哈，然后来发表，然后两边呢就引起了冲突，就造成了新旧两派的对立。那在这个对立的情况之下呢，有非常 不好的影响，所以有大闹金山事件，就震动震惊了整个佛教界。
So, after Taishu delivered the opening remarks during the general meeting, which called for formation of such association for the advancement of Buddhism, Monk Ren Shan continued to articulate their ideas and thoughts. But because there were opposing views at the time, so when the opposing the component also delivered their remarks, it happened to be quite intense, so there were intense arguments and ideas exchanged at the meeting, and which led to conflicts eventually, which in history called the Jingshan Incident, which shaked the Buddhist circle at the time.
所以呢，太虚大师就自己说了，他在他的自传里面就讲说，我的佛教革命名声从此就被传开了，然后受到人们的尊敬或是惊惧或厌恶或怜惜，就非常各种不同反应都有哦，就看就当时的情况就是这样子。
Master Taishu wrote in his own autobiography that my reputation of a revolutionary monk now became widespread. People either respect me, afraid of me, dislike me, or pity me.
那这时候要提到稍微提到一点点妙禅心学哦，这个妙禅心学从满清末年哦，清代的末年它就被一直提出来，所以那个妙禅心学这个一直很困扰着中国的佛教界哦。那时候呢，在民国二年的时候，那个政府又要提拨四禅来创办学校哦，所以那时候的八指头陀寂禅和尚呢，就去政府交涉，但是因为交涉没有成功呢，他就回到了什么回到了法源寺哦，当晚就圆寂了。
So now it is time to talk about using temple properties, monastic properties to found schools at the time. That there was such a thought and trend during the late Qing Dynasty, started from the late Qing Dynasty. And the Eight Fingers, the prominent monk of Eight Fingers wanted to deal with this with a then government authority, but was not successful. He died at the same night that he wasn't able to achieve the result he wanted.
所以呢，在太虚大师为了悼念追悼寂禅和尚的大会上面呢，为了拯救佛教的危机，以悲愤的情绪主张佛教三大革命。第一呢是什么？教理革命，第二是教制革命跟教产革命。他同时呢配合三民主义的以思想哦制度跟经济来跟佛教的三大革命来做一个整体的一个创建哦，就把握整个佛教的革新的枢纽。这是一个适应时代思想上一个创建，比如说是教理革命是属于民权革命，教制革命是民主主义哦，民权主义，教制革命是民权主义，教产革命是民生主义，从思想制度跟经济面这个作为一个革新佛教革新的枢纽。
After the Eight Fingers monk passed away, Taishu took on the unfinished task of pushing back the pressure on monastic property from the government. At that time, he promoted the threefold revolution in Buddhism, which actually also corresponds with the three principles of the people advocated by President Sun Zhongshan. The first is revolution in theory, which corresponds with democracy in politics. And the second is a revolution in organization, which corresponds with nationalism in politics. The last one is revolution in property, which corresponds with people's welfare and the livelihood in politics.
那先来说明一下教理革命的内容是什么呢？他说，他提出来，佛教应该多注意现实生活的问题，而不是应该像专向死后的问题上面去探讨。然后，过去佛教曾被帝王以鬼神祸福作为愚民的工具，在今日呢，应该开始用力研究宇宙人生的真相，知道世界人类向上发达而进步。总之，佛教教理是应该适应阶段思潮的新形态，不能只死方以一辨真了，就是我们要因什么与时俱进。
Then the first of the threefold revolutions advocated by Master Taixu is a revolution in theory. He said basically he wants the Buddhism to focus more on this present life, not afterlife. He said in the past, Buddhism was used as a tool by emperors to benign the people by using such concepts as ghosts and deities, disaster and blessings. From now on, Buddhism should be used to study the universal truth of life to direct the progress of the people of the world. In summary, the truth of Buddhism should be adapted to new learning and new trend of the society, should not be stick to blindly.
那教理革命呢？他说佛教组织尤其是僧制应该要改善呢。那怎么样改善呢？就是对于僧众的生活制度要重新来整理，让这个制度呢能够适应时代，成为合理化现代的僧伽制度，建立真正住持佛法的僧团。
And the second revolution, the revolution in the Buddhist institution, the Buddhist organization. So he says the institutional structure of Sangha needs to be reformed. It needs to be reformed to reflect the societal needs and to better promote Buddhism in a modern age.
那教产革命，这个非常现实哦，就是从佛教的弊端上面，从这个三个特点，尤其是教产革命，这个教产革命也需要改革，是说佛教的寺院财产要使它变成为十方僧众的共有的，就是十方僧物要打破替派跟法派继承遗产的私有的私传的恶习哦，那用这样子的来供养有德长老来培育青年的身材以及兴办佛教各种教务之用。
And the last one, revolution in monastic property. He advocated that all monasteries should be public and owned by the general public. The evil custom of hereditary monasteries should be eliminated so that virtuous senior monks may be supported, promising young monks may be trained, and Buddhist educational programs may be undertaken.
那我们来讲说为什么要太虚大师为什么要提出这佛教的三大革命呢？因为从明清之来以来，我们的丛林制度从隋唐、唐代以后的丛林制度变质了，就是以法脉跟替派呢，成为形成独派四禅，然后阻碍了佛教进步，成为一个腐化佛教的一个根源呢。所以太虚大师就主张要改革僧制了，所以他在民国四年的时候就写了一本书，叫做《整理僧伽制度论》，作为佛教僧制的整理的一个蓝本。
So why Master Taixu wanted to advocate these three revolutions, and also the last one, which is very practical, the revolution in monastic property. And it is because since Ming and Qing dynasty, the forest, the used to be popular forest monasteries regulation, which promoted by Master Baijang, had been corrupted later on and lost its original intention and meanings. It gradually become the abbot, the head of the monastery will occupy the property and became the source of corruption. Therefore, Master Taishu advocated reforms in Sangha system. He wrote the book, he wrote the article on how to reform the Sangha system.
那你看他整理，他太虚大师做了一个整理僧伽制度论， 在当时觉得有可能成功吗？ 不可能， 所以他这个事业有什么？有失败， 对， 有一个失败， 所以他常常做很多失败的一个事情， 然后他的失败史我们可以慢慢的来看。 然后接着呢， 在继承和尚在圆寂后的一个月呢， 这个中国的佛教总会成立了， 所以他在上海成立一个大会。 这时候呢， 因为八指头陀以牺牲他的生命来成立这个中国佛教总会哦， 所以呢， 慧宗就通过太虚大师为这个佛教月刊的总编辑。 但是呢， 这个因为经费不够， 只有出了四期就停刊了。 在一连串的一些挫折之下， 这个太虚大师就觉得他以佛法救世的力量开始产生怀疑。 你看这么多挫折，又这么多的毁谤， 或这么多批评， 他觉得有心灰意冷， 就觉得， 可能这时候他转了一个方向，就去什么，就去跟文人，这些文人有很多的一些深入的交往哦。
Let's see. After Master Taishu wrote the article on reforms in Sangha, on Sangha system, do you think he could successfully promote his ideas at the time? Apparently, that was very difficult given the causes and conditions at that historical time period. It's natural that he would fail his this course. In his lifetime, he had many failures in promoting his ideas, which is not hard to understand, because people cannot catch up with him. And after Master Eight Fingers passed away, Buddhist Association of China was established, and they appointed Master Taishu as a chief editor of its official magazine. But due to lack of funding, the magazine only published a few articles, and then it stopped. So Master Taishu was quite frustrated by his setbacks and failures.
这时候呢，这时候他就想要去做什么呢？就想要去再度的闭关哦，再去用功哦。然后这时候他去普陀山演观，是由印光大师为其封关的哦。这个印光大师大家认识吗？是现代净土宗的大德哦。所以我们来看，这是他们那时候的。 高僧大德们都非常交情都非常的好，所以都是互相护持的。所以他在普陀山演观的时候，由英光大师为其封官，然后他在观里面呢，官房里面呢，他用什么？他是解行并重，他着重于在个人身心的戒定慧的修养功夫哦，然后并且研究大小乘经论，还有以及律藏，以及 农宿中观一系列经论跟弥勒天亲的为士，还有我们中国天台的天台宗、显所宗、净土宗、密宗、禅宗等诸部 他并且还浏览了诸子百家的学说，还有西洋译来的新的文化。
After Tai Xu's setbacks and frustration, he decided to go back to the solitary retreat again. At the time, the eminent monk master Ying Guang, which is one of the famous patriarchs in Pure Land School, sent him off for the solitary retreat himself. And during the solitary retreat at Putuo Mountain, Master Tai Xu emphasized doctrinal study and practicing at the same time. And he studied many sutras and Buddhist canons in different schools of Chinese Buddhism, such as Tian Tai, Pure Land, esoteric Buddhism and the Chan School, etc. And also he read a lot of new ideas, new thoughts translated from the Western world.
在闭关的时期呢，有一天在冬天的时候呢，有一个夜晚，他通常寺院都会有个开大经的钟声嘛，他在用功的时候就听到开大经的钟声哐之后，他忽然心断了，就是我们心断是指前后悸哦，断了我们的前后悸。然后心就断了，就是心，他这里写哦，心突然忽然心断，再觉则见光明无际，从泯无内外能所中，见现能所内外，远近久暂，回复生根作色的原状。在心空寂断的时候，心觉再现，就是符合起信大圣起信论跟楞严经所说的，就是另外一次悟境，比他第一次的悟境又更深了。
So during his solitary retreat, on a winter night, he heard the bell which emphasized he heard the bell of finishing of sitting meditation. And his mind at that point suddenly stopped, and he experienced pure brightness, pure light. And that state of mind can only be found described in Sharagama Sutra and the arising of great faith in Mahayana Buddhism, those classical treatises. This is his second enlightenment experience, which apparently was deeper than the first one.
这时候他因为他阅览了大小圣经论哈，那在关中里面呢，在闭关的时候呢，他有著作了佛法导论，这是他的有系统的著作的开始，就是他佛学思想就从这时候开始慢慢的一个建立起来。
Also during his solitary retreat, he started writing books and to organize his Buddhist theories and thoughts. And he wrote the book on the general introduction of Buddhism.
所以呢，他在所读到的一些经论的影响呢，主张整身哦，整理身切哦，在于律，就是律治哦。而社化学者世间呢，须于法相，这个就是他后来在整身跟化色思想的基本观念。
So at that time, he realized the key point of reforming the Sangha system lies on the precepts that becomes one of the fundamental principles later on that for him to carry out.
这时候呢，他第二次开悟了闭关，哦，闭关之后，他有开始要什么僧伽的改革。其实他有三次的闭关哦，第三次闭关也是在28岁的时候哦。
So this is the second time that he experienced enlightenment. That was during his solitary retreat.During his lifetime, he had three solitary retreats in total, and the last one was when he was 28 years old.
所以我们来看太虚大师的悟境，三次悟境。第一次悟境是在他的什么开悟是什么？十九岁我们都在做什么？人家已经开悟了。然后第二次的开悟是在哪一年呢？应该是26岁哈，应该是在26岁这时候哈，应该是26岁。然后第三次开悟是在28岁。我们28岁在做什么？不知道。可是因为这三次的悟境，对于他后来的僧伽的改革，以及对于创办的世界佛教，还有一些我们对于救国跟护教，整个影响是非常的大的。
So Master Taishu had 3 enlightenment experiences in his lifetime. The first one occurred when he was 19 years old. The second one occurred when he was 26 years old. And the third one occurred when he was 28. So what are we doing when we were 19, 26, 28? Apparently, we were not enlightened. So those 3 times of enlightenment experience had great influence on his ideas and thinkings of reforming the Sangha system, and also later on protecting the country, protecting Buddhism.
所以在三次悟境之后呢，就开始了僧伽改革。他曾说呢，他就是自在整理僧伽制度，行在瑜伽菩萨戒本，这是非常有名的太虚大师非常有名的记子哦。然后在民国11年，就1922年就开始创办了武昌佛学院，就是为中国近代佛教教育的开始。我们佛教教育是从这时候开始的哦，近代哦，所以其实太虚大师对我们来后世的而言，影响是非常非常的大的。
Master Taishu said, "The reform of Sangha system lies in the precepts of Yoga Bodhisattva." In 1922, he established the Buddhist Institute of Buddhism in Wuchang, which marked the start point of the modern Chinese Buddhist education.
从僧伽改革之后，他有什么世界佛教？我们来看，我们现在能够在国外听闻到佛法，是多么的不容易啊！可是太虚大师那时候就有一个想法哦，他在出关之后的隔年，他就去出国了。出国去哪里呢？去台湾跟日本。然后他去这些回来之后，就开始有建立世界佛教的一种想法了。那他怎么样去建立呢？他在民国13年是。1924年在庐山哦举行世界佛教联合会议，哇，思想真的太先进了。当时怎么会有想到说可以创办一个世界佛教联合会这样子一个名目出来呢
？The second year, after he came out from the solitary retreat, Master Taishu.Started to have the idea of form the Buddhism of the world, the alliance. That was quite something, because for example, we all know it's very difficult to encounter Buddhism in the Western world or outside of China. But that was started at the time with Master Taishu. He already had such thought.So in 1924, he held the first Buddhist Alliance of the Buddhist Alliance of the World in Lushan. That was quite advanced given the cost and conditions at that time.
那隔年呢，就率中国佛教代表团出席日本召开的东亚佛教大会哦。
And the next year. In 1925, He led the team of the representatives of Chinese Buddhism attend the East China Buddhist Assembly in Japan.
接着呢，在1928年呢，隔了三年之后，又赴欧美各国宣扬佛法，并在法国接受他们的要求，创立世界佛学院。
In 1928, he accepted an invitation overseas and went to France and America, and he accepted the request, responded to the request in France to set up the Institute of Buddhism, the World Institute of Buddhism.
并且在中国南京的首都南京成立世界佛学院总院，就是使得东方文化主流佛教荣居于世界文化的领导地位。这时候呢，欧洲哦，英法德美各国佛教团体相继设立哦。
And also in Nanjing, which was the capital of China at that time.He formed the World Institute of Buddhism, the headquartered in Nanjing, which led the studies and become the mainstream study of Buddhism.
所以，太虚大师的事业建立了僧伽改革跟世界佛教，这样子的事业有没有成功？一样哦，在当时实在是太先进，所以也没有成功哦。
So his idea of promoting Buddhism around the world and establish Buddhist institution, world Buddhist institution, was it successful at the time? No, because it was too advanced, too radical, progressive for the time.
虽然他在这段时期所建立的事业都少有成功，但是他所对于我们后世的影响都非常的深远的。现在深远是在世界各国后成立的佛教团体，哦，这个也是从这边影响而来的
哦。Although the courses he advocate at the time really succeed due to too progressive for the time. He had great influence. His ideas had great influence. Nowadays, there are all kinds of Buddhist groups formed in the Western world. That was all due to his initial thought.
所以从他三次的悟境之后呢，闭关之后的悟境，他开始落实于整个这个人间的弘化哈。那在此当时的人间是做什么呢？当时中国是什么？充满了战乱，哈。从明初的革命到了什么五四运动，这时候五四运动的启蒙，这是一个很大的一个社会运动。这时候呢，他做什么？这个五四运动的起点是什么？是因为他们又要抗日哦，北大的学生领袖要抗日的这种爱国运动受到各界的支持，但是他所影响的层面是整个全面性的，从社会政治学术到文学艺术，整个都一个很强烈的冲击。但是他最重要表现在于他的学术跟思想的自由，尤其是西方的自由主义、功利主义跟无政府主义跟各派的社会主义等思想，对于传统的中国社会文化跟政治制度带来很大的影响。
Therefore, we can see the focus of Master Taishi already turned to the human realm and into the the present time and the place in China. So what is urgent matter need to be addressed at the time? Of course, is the turbulent political and societal changes and pressures happening in China. And during that time, there was a famous May 4th movement, which started by Peking University students wanted to against the Japanese invasion in China. But it got suspended and turned into a widespread call for new thoughts, new innovation, and the challenges of traditions.
当时呢，太虚大师对于中外政局的逼迫，国内思潮的杂乱，就发起了一个想要佛化爵士的一个新运动。所以他在民国七年呢，就创办了佛教的一个爵士，就是后来的那个海潮音的杂志，就是期望佛法来作为救人救世的一种和平运动。
At the time in responding to the May 4th movement, the liberty, the thoughts, new school thoughts of liberty and freedom, Master Taishu founded the Buddhist organization Awakening, which later will publish the famous magazine that he worked on. So he's thoughts was to use Buddhism to help people to save the difficult times that China has been go through.
这时候他又太虚大师又创新了，另外一个创新是从什么？佛法从寺院走向学院了。这时候呢，因为他创办了爵社，所以就认识了哈，就从各大都市里面开始讲经传教，以改善社会风气哦。那在大学里面呢，也受邀到很多大学去讲宣讲佛法。那在大学里面的佛哲学系也开始讲印度佛教史。
Because Taishu established Awakening, that of Buddhist organization, he started to give Buddhist talks, lecture on sutras in big cities in China at the time, including Wuhan, Beijing, Shanghai, and Guangzhou. He was hoping to improve the human characters at the time. And because of his activities, in a lot of universities at the time also started teaching Buddhism, the philosophy of Buddhism.
这边我要更正一下，他在大学文学院的哲学系中列印度哲学哈，不是讲印度佛教史，刚刚讲比较口误一点。
So a correction is that in many universities when Master Taishu was invited to give talks, they were talking mainly in the Indian Buddhism at the time.Indian philosophy.
Okay. 这时候他到各都市讲经跟传教，以及在大学院里面讲佛学，他所受到影响是什么呢？社会的影响是什么？这时候各界哦，学佛的居士就先后成立了佛学院、佛学会、佛学社以及。佛教的居士林念佛会如雨后春笋的这林立哦，对于日后呢佛教的发展有助于人心社会人性的改善有很大的帮助。在学佛在家学佛团体有特殊的成就是南京的欧阳靖吾，知道吗？支那学院的欧阳靖吾，他是在唯识上面呢非常的专精哦。
So because of the promotion by Master Taishu, he went around to give Buddhist talks in major cities. A lot of Buddhist and lay people starting to form various study groups to study Buddhist sutras. And one of quite famous groups among those lay people groups is the China Institute formed by Ouyang Jingwu, layperson Ouyang Jingwu in Nanjing, which that layperson is quite has great knowledge in consciousness school.
那我们现在要回到一个非常影响非常大的一个妙禅心学哦，这个妙禅心学的影响对于整个中国佛教而言是非常大的困扰。那它的起因是什么呢？在清光绪年间后，那个湖南的湖广总督张之洞哦，在戊戌变法的那一年呢，做了一篇劝学篇上奏到当时的满清的朝廷哦，他主张呢用全国寺院财产作为新学的经费，因为当时呢西方文化的传入，所以他用这个作为新学的一根经费哦。所以佛教呢一开始呢就被这个变法维新的影响哦，开始作为妙禅心学的起源，也就是长期困扰佛教的一个主要的课题。
Next, we turn to the topic of monastic practice, use the policy of using monastic practice to support the schools. So during the late Qing Dynasty, one of the governor, Zhang Zhidong, advocated a reform that in order to promote new learnings, because influenced by the Western culture, he wanted to use monastic practice to support, to fund the new learnings, new schools. And this became one of the troublesome subjects for Chinese Buddhist institutions.
所以所谓的庙产就是指寺院所有的一切财产哦，就是田地、房屋跟法物，就是我们所看到的一切呢，就是我们都算寺产哦，寺庙的庙产。但是由于当时佛寺的僧尼跟寺产之多，所以就会引起整个社会人士的觊觎哦。还有野心，也同时也给社会经济带来重大的影响。
So when we say a monastic practice, this it refers to also includes land, buildings, and anything you can see and they own. It is one of the problems that Chinese monastics had to face at the time. Because we mentioned the corruption of the regulations in China monasteries.
所以呢，在光绪末年的时候呢，政府啊命令各州呢，各省的州县开始设置学堂，然后佛教的寺产开始受到侵害，所以延续下来呢，这些。有一些法令的规定呢，就引起了各省土豪、列僧哦，就是列僧的兼并四田哦，所以在民国以后，这种情况就成为一种公认的一种事实。
So because of the policy and the trend supported by the government at the time.A lot of local landlords started to occupy, started the trend of occupying more and more land that used to be owned by the monasteries. That became quite a problem.
在袁世凯政府的这一段期间呢，他颁令了什么？管理寺庙条令31条。好。对于这个内容的苛刻跟剥削哦，是中国近代史上政府对佛教所颁布的苛刻非常的严苛哦。
So in 1915, Yuan Shikai authorized the regulation on the monastic practice, which was very demanding and very harsh. This is one of the harshest decree in China's history. Aiming to eliminate Chinese Buddhism.
那我们来看，那时候人民有信仰上的自由吗？宪法没有保障哦，所以当时的五四运动，除了北京各校学生烧打亲日派的外交总长曹如林住宅之后呢，他就扩大为变成非常有组织的一个反帝国的运动。在反帝国主义的运动的同时呢，也有反许多反宗教的言论哦。
And went back to going back to the May 4th movement. At the time, the Peking universities in Peking, those students went to the residency of then Foreign Minister Cao Ruling's residency and tried to demonstrate that they want to go against the Japanese invasion. But the effects got spread out.And it gradually became a position of all of Western countries, and including there is some speech against religion.
所以呢，那时候是反宗教，是主要是反基督教这个帝国主义入侵。那在民国六年的时候，徐谦哦，以基督教在中国宪法上未取得宗教信仰自由的权利，然后。开创了史上哦史无前有的先例，就是集合了联合了所有的各个宗教的人士，从回教、佛教、回教、天主教、道教等，好，在这边这个声势浩大，就是使得政府在宪法草案上哦便列入为一个信仰自由的一个规定。
So May 4th movement led to a bigger opposition of the Western invasion, including religions, specifically Christianity. Therefore, a person named Xu Qian wanted to establish the freedom of religion, the right to freedom of religions at the time.That was unprecedented in Chinese history. Interestingly, he reached out to all religions, including Buddhism, Muslim, Catholics, and Taoists at the time, and wanted to form an alliance to put the right to freedom of religion into constitution.
在宪法上保障人民信仰自由的条文，但是没有绝对没有管理宗教的这种规定，所以在袁世凯政府奠定的管理寺庙条例之后呢，各寺院的住持呢，这时候是怎么样？他科令是什么呢？各寺院住持归政府管理，那其寺院的所有权也视为政府所有，所以很多的纠纷就层出不穷。这个时候呢，中国佛教的声势哦，处境变为极为艰巨。
But because the government intervention with Buddhism, they continued to occupy more and more Buddhist monastic properties. So the temple, the monastery now owned and administered by the government, it came to a lot of disputes. And Chinese Buddhists.Situation became more and more difficult.
所以从1992年到1929年呢，这些从管理寺院条例一直到监督寺院条例，佛教面临了很多很多的危机。这个从打倒帝国主义、打倒资本主义、打倒军阀、打倒迷信宗，这些中国的佛教都面临了很大的危机哦。
So due to a lot of laws and decrees, regulations published by the government, Chinese Buddhism went through quite a lot of crisis and became more and more difficult.
所以呢，太虚大师借由三民主义的建国思想来做一个怎么样维护市场呢？他怎么样说呢？用三民主义所本的民有、民治、民享的原理，对于生死财产应有三种权利的规定：所有权、管理权跟享用权。
Therefore, according to three principles of the people in politics advocated by established by Sun Zhongshan, Master Taishu proposed we should use that three principles, apply the three principles of people into dealing with monastic practice. We should establish the three type of rights: the right to own the monastic property, the right to manage, the right to enjoy monastic properties.
那太虚大师认为呢，四禅为十方的常住生物，为全国十方常住中所有，就跟在家的家产一样，政府不能任意拿来管理与使用。
Just like the lay person's property should be private and should not be occupied by the government, monastery property should also belong to the monastery, the monastics altogether should not be owned or managed by the government.
好，那从太虚大师的行仪里面，他的具体的事迹讲完之后呢，就觉得有没有觉得对于时代呢，我们有一种就是历史嘛，吼，历史我们怎么去看这个历史？对于这个历史的过程当中，我们可以用做什么来作为借鉴呢？
So we've talked a lot about the history and all the historical events connected, associated with Master Taishu's lifetime. So what do we learn from that?
那面临这个大时代的转变，太虚大师怎么样去宣扬他的思想跟理念？从改革生智到建立到整个世界佛教，其实他有一个是很重要的思想，是宣扬他的人生佛教。
So we can see, facing such a rapid changing time and turbulent times in China, Master Taishu proposed a lot of ideas, including reform Sangha and establish coalition with world Buddhism. But in summary, it all alluded to the humanistic Buddhism.
在太虚大师的人生佛教概念形成受到很多方面的影响，比如是晚清的现代主义、天台学、破除迷信的禅学及西方科学的乐观主义的影响，才建立他的一个人生佛教这个思想。
So the concept of humanistic Buddhism was formed by Master Taishu due to his views that which was also influenced greatly by a lot of thoughts and influence at the time, including the Tiantai school and modernism and Western science and also optimism and the thought of breaking up with the superstition.
那作为一个佛教现代改革者呢，他有一个主要原因是什么呢？是走出了传统的寺院，走向社会大众。那他怎么样去实践呢？在当时全国抗日战争的这种时期下，他怎么样去呼吁全国的佛教徒作为一个来做一个护国的一个运动呢？我们说匹夫有责啊，国家兴亡，匹夫有责。佛教徒没有国家，怎么会哪来的佛教呢？所以他举例在讲佛法与救国里面，用佛法的慈悲为本，方便为门哦。又用举例地藏菩萨的动身度尽方正菩提，地狱未空誓不成佛， 来说明佛法积极救世的一种精神。
As a Buddhist reformer, how did Master Taishi carry out his important thoughts of humanistic Buddhism? At that time, there was a Japanese invasion of China. So he advocated everyone is responsible to save the country, to save the nation. Because without a nation, there would be no Chinese Buddhism. And he utilized the compassion and expedient means in Buddhism to show the world that Buddhism can be quite positive in dealing with worldly affairs.
在匹夫兴亡人人有国家兴亡匹夫有责的情况之下呢，在佛教中的国民救难的精神当中，用佛法的报恩，佛法有几种报恩，四重恩，哪四重？好，就是国家恩，用国家恩来报，就是鼓励全国佛教徒奋勇赴国，就是来报国家恩哦。所以他在呼吁怎么样报国家恩呢？就是我们他呼吁了建立佛教青年的护国团，然后在抗战的时期呢，国民党民众训练部哦，命令各地的僧侣编入壮丁队接受训练，就是要去上前线抗战。但是太虚大师就去跟当局交涉，就是请求僧侣一律改为救护队的训练，以符合佛教慈悲的精神。
During the time of Japanese invasion in China, how did Master Taishi carry out his thoughts of helping, saving the country and saving the people? He used the concept and the theory of the paying gratitude, because in Buddhism we need to pay gratitude. There are four types of gratitude, including paying your gratitude to your country. So he encouraged people, he encouraged monks to engage in rescue effort conducted by the government, and to form rescue teams and groups, even get trained to the frontier of the war. Although he would articulate he wanted the monks to form the rescue team just to show the compassion of Buddhism.
在救护队的训练当中，有个上海僧侣救护队在当时呢发挥了很大的功能哦，在上海的中外的舆论以战神之敌来赞扬哦，并受到了政府的表扬。
There was a team in Shanghai, a rescue team in Shanghai that received a lot of praises due to their bravery.
那我们来看这些他一生的这些种种的事迹呢，是出自于哪里？他建立他在佛学思想上面，那他佛学思想是什么呢？我们说人生佛教。那他在人生佛教里面有做了什么？在闭关的时候呢，做了一个佛法的大戏，就变成了大圣的三宗论的一个雏形，是法性空慧中，法相唯识中，法界圆觉中哦。这是一这个法界圆觉是从一圆觉经、楞严经跟大圣起信论为依据而构成的一个圆融的思想。
So we can see all Master Taishi's efforts actually centered on the theme of humanistic Buddhism. And during his retreat, he formed the three, he divided the Chinese Buddhism into the three schools. One is emphasized on the prajna wisdom, the emptiness. And the second is second part is the consciousness school, consciousness only school. And the third part is based on the complete enlightenment sutra, Sharagama sutra, and the awakening phase in great, in Mahayana Buddhism. That is the last part that he emphasized on.
那他在佛学概论上面有讲说呢，用一每一个人的个性还有特质以及他的愿力跟不同，那随机应化而分成了三种一个层次齁，三种种类啦，三种种类有五圣共法、三圣共法跟大圣不共法。那他讲说呢，五圣共法是因缘所生哦，这是属于下士的人天圣。三法印是根据于三圣共法，是属于中士的生缘圣。那一切法实相是无障碍的法界，是大圣不共法，是上士的，就是菩萨圣哦。
He proposed, Master Taishu proposed the Buddhist ideology that can be divided into the three different type of, well, can be articulated in different vehicles. He said based on different personalities, different vows and different qualities, people will feel linked to different, have different affinities to different vehicles. The first type is, which is common for all five vehicles, which is based on the causes and conditions doctrines. And the middle level is based on the three Dharma seals, which is the common theory for three vehicles. And the last one is just for Mahayana Buddhism. Only Mahayana Buddhism has it, which is the highest level of the Bodhisattva vehicle.
太虚大师呢，在五十岁的时候呢，有说了，他说：“我今修学菩萨行，我今因证菩萨名，愿人称我以菩萨。”不是比丘佛未成，就是他希望人呢称他是什么，以菩萨来称呼哦。
At age of 50, Master Taishu wrote a poem saying that I now practice Bodhisattva path and I wanted people to refer me as a Bodhisattva. I'm not a Buddha yet, but I want to practice the Bodhisattva path.
所以呢，他是说，为菩萨发心而修行，第一个是以人为主，第二个是行哦，就是在实践的部分哦，在人间行哦。所以这个佛出人间教化对象是人，那人呢，我们在分为依他的根基分为人、天跟声闻，那在更进展呢，这往上的呢就有人菩萨行、天菩萨行跟声闻菩萨行后跟菩萨佛圣这个。
So his thoughts emphasized having Bodhisattva vows and practice Bodhisattva path, and there's two emphases. The first one is focused on the human realm. The second one is take actions.
在人呢，在人上面呢，人圣上面是以不杀这五戒十善为人生的正行。那天圣呢，是重视鬼神的祭祀，比如说调炼身心的禅定，以及生缘觉圣是在这边以人天善法的戒定的基石上修身观慧哦，而证入真如，这是得大解脱，是从佛的身教而修正的，称为声闻圣。
So based on his ideas of purifying the human characters, for the human vehicle, he proposed advocates that no killing, no stealing, and abiding by the five precepts and doing 10 good deeds, that is a way to practice in the human realm via the human vehicle. And the vehicle of heavenly vehicle and heavenly realm practice compassion and train the body and the mind and enter into the heavenly realm and the vehicle by meditation. And the third vehicle is the sound hearer vehicles. That is also a practice, the human heavenly realm, the good deeds, and based practice precepts and samadhi, and practice develop wisdom by observing, being aware, and eventually enter into the true nature, the true essence.
那我们来讲哈，这个声闻的菩萨行，我们一般哦，这个是应顺导师判的是至真上菩萨，天菩萨行是信愿真上，人菩萨行呢是悲真上菩萨。
So according to Master Yin Shun, so the different Bodhisattva path by different realms. For the sound hearer Bodhisattva path, it is aided by wisdom. And for the heavenly realm Bodhisattva path, it's supported by faith. And for the human realm, it was supported by compassion.
那太虚大师认为呢，这个基于五戒十善而发心修六度四摄，是依人生正行的菩萨。从佛陀本怀说，依应时的妙方便说，是不是独善的神秘的菩萨行，而是依人圣的行，人圣行而进去佛圣的菩萨行，这就是所谓太虚大师倡导的人生佛教。
According to Master Taishu, the original intention of Shakyamuni Buddha was to walk the Bodhisattva path, and responded to different roots of human sentient beings. Therefore, it was definitely not a cultivation on your own. That is what Master Taishu advocate humanistic Buddhism.
那太虚大师也讲说，期望以人的菩萨行心行无我慈悲六度十善来建设造成人间净土的理想哦。
He also advocate the idea of building a pure land on earth and purify the human characters by six paramitas. Practicing six paramitas, practicing 10 good deeds, and the compassion and no self.
那太虚大师说呢，他不是为佛书研究的学者，不是为专程一宗的徒弟，没有及无求及时成佛的贪心，为学菩萨发心而修行者，这四项是非常重要的一个，作为他菩萨学处的一个非常重要的根据哦。
Master Taishu said in one of his speeches the way he viewed himself. He said, "I'm not a Buddhist scholar. I'm not a lineage holder for any particular school. I'm not pursuing Buddhahood, or just want to achieve Buddhahood instantaneously. I'm just a practitioner of a Bodhisattva path."
这就是关于太虚大师是学菩萨发心，发长远心、广大心，而学修菩萨修行，用六度四摄来修行，这就是他所说的人生佛教跟菩萨学处。
This is the cornerstone of humanistic Buddhism he advocated basically is walking the Bodhisattva path through six paramitas.
所以他在对于大师的心行有归于这样的偈颂：众苦方沸腾，遍救怀明达，仰止为佛陀，完成在人格，佛成人成即佛成，是名真信实。
Therefore, in conclusion, in his verses, he said, sentient beings had great sufferings, and we want to, as Bodhisattva practitioner, we want to save them, help them. And in order to become a Buddha, achieve Buddhahood, the important thing is to perfect the human character. Once the human character is, perfection of the human character is complete, the Buddhahood is complete as well.That is a true realization of Buddhahood.
那他这个偈颂哦，有几句哦，是有一点点，在他的人成即人成佛的真现实论里面哦，有几个不一样的地方，就是完就在人格，人缘佛即成，是名真现实。这个是在的著作里面，太虚大师的著作里面有讲到这个。不过我们后来传的就是。比较大家所耳熟能详的是这个偈颂哦，那是在太虚大师的著作里面有这么写。那太虚大师呢的一生呢是卓越成熟成功的宗教家，虽然他的很多事业是不是成功的，那是一个非常光荣而伟大的一个光荣伟大一个大师哦，所以他的一生行仪当中可以提供我们的后人的效法与参考哦。那今天的那个太虚大师的分享哦，就到这边圆满了。
So there was a slight variation in that poem in that verses in his works, but the previous one that I just translated was more popular.Popular among nowadays people, among people. Overall, that's it for today's talk on Master Taishu's lifetime and his biography. And in summary, we could say that he is an accomplished, great master, great Buddhist thinker. And there's a lot we can learn from his lifetime and his story. That's it for today.
谢谢大家，今天就到这边分享，谢谢。
Thank you.